Yeah. All right. All right, Wednesday, 9/11. The title is going to be Maintaining the Victory. All right. Let me just read you a few things here first. You're not a victim. You're not a victim. No matter what your circumstances might appear, it may look like you are. It may look like you're failing. It may look like you're not winning. Jesus' victory over death at the cross propelled us into the victory status. Jesus was the one that he gained the victory for us. All right? Satan is the god of this world, and he is a liar. We all know that. He has come to take away your victory. See, he doesn't, you know, I was thinking about, we were talking about the deep state infiltration and how, I was talking about Mike King, where he goes back to 1871 and can tell you how every election and everything, they had their hand in and they sabotaged, because this is what the thief does. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does. He has nothing. He owns nothing. Only thing he has is what he's stolen from us and our ancestors. All right? Just as he stole the world from Adam, he will attempt to steal it from you. Yeah. He's the same old cuss, right? Mm-hmm. All right. We are not victims. We do not have to just roll with Satan's punches, you know. Just put up. We have a counterpunch given to us in God's Word to help us always maintain the victory. The Lord's been speaking to me about this. And this is what he said to me. He said, you know how you can just sit down sometime and you're not really thinking about anything and just thoughts come? And they're not good ones. Maybe it takes you back in your past to a time that was not good. Trying to get you to maybe take offense at whoever might have caused that or whatever the case may be. And that's when the Holy Spirit said to me, that's your time that you counterpunch. Because this is a mental battle. Don't just sit there and let him take you down memory lane that you don't want to be on. You're going to have to counter. See, it's a discipline to do that instead of just letting yourself. If somebody's depressed, well, you didn't get there just, I just woke up depressed. No, you didn't get there that way. You got there by thinking on the wrong thing. Like I said, when I first started on, I think it was television, the Lord said, think about what you're thinking about. And pretty well, that's going to gauge whether you're up, whether you're down. Me, I think it's just best to kind of be in an even keel. Peace makes the call. All right. All right. It's mental. Satan's game is a mental one. Soulishness. That's what he comes at you with. Soulishness, to get you out of the spirit into the flesh. Okay. To keep you in this realm and knock you out of the spiritual realm. Because, see, that's the only way you can defeat him is the spirit realm. You can't take him out on soul power. And that's why, you know, I said, Lord, I want to teach people to do it right. I don't want them to have to spend the next 50 years of their life unlearning what they learned. Yeah. Okay. Here's the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. Who knew? It says here that the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. Well, that's soulish. I remember as a kid listening to Soul Train. That ain't a good thing. And I know what they meant. They meant they had soul. But I'm telling you, that's where all the trouble is. Right here, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, that's what he's attempting to do, to build a stronghold in your life to where you are occupied with this fortress of lies. Casting down imaginations. You know, he'll bring stuff up to you that probably will never, ever happen, but if you just keep dwelling on it, dwelling on it, dwelling on it, dwelling on it, it'll ruin your life. Won't ever enjoy anything, always afraid, always scared. That's not the way we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to take a care about what we're going to eat or drink or wear. What about health care? What about tomorrow? We're not supposed to take a thought about tomorrow. We're supposed to handle, keep today today. I've even this morning, thoughts came at me and I said, no, I'm going to keep today today. I'm going to deal with today today. I'm not going to go to tomorrow. We're not supposed to. That goes against the Word of God. He said, don't take a thought for tomorrow. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. You can take care of tomorrow tomorrow, but leave tomorrow tomorrow and deal with today today. Very simple. Casting down imaginations. What is an imagination? It's something that you meditate on that you want. Maybe it's a promise God has said he will give you. Maybe it's something in the Word you already know you have. And what do? You sit and you imagine it. You imagine yourself doing it. Well, Satan's got a weapon that is formed, but that weapon is not armed unless you arm it. So, right here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, this is going to be against what God has already told you and said, no, I've already said this is the way it is in your Word. And that imagination comes. If you get on board with it, you can make it happen, because he knows that. He knows how it works. He knows he's powerless. All he's got is deception, lies. But if you don't know that, then you could have a meltdown and start speaking stuff out of your mouth. He knows how things get produced. So we can't let things we don't want be produced. We have to maintain our ground and keep what we already have. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? What God has said. And bringing into captivity every thought. There it is. There's the battleground. To obedience to Christ. No, I'm not going there today. Shut up. I am not going there. I'm not doing that. Lord, you said you cared for me, so I cast that care on you, whatever it may be. Does carrying care and fretting, does it do you any good? No. People are sick. They get sick because they just worry themselves literally to death. So, we do not have to sit and be bombarded with Satan's negative thoughts. We can immediately counterattack with our thoughts. And I'm not saying a single word. I'm talking about this is going on right here. He's trying to get you to say words. And if the Lord gives you a word, then say the word. But if he doesn't, you don't have to say a word. You can just cancel him out in your mind anytime you want to. No, I ain't going there. Just refuse. It's up to you. I don't think I'm going to turn there today. It's as simple as that. I'm not going down that road today. Lord's already taken care of that. Why are you bringing it up? That's already forgiven. Why are you bringing that up? Because he's trying to take your victory. Okay. How do we counter with, or what do we counter with? We kind of touched already. What kind of thoughts? God's thoughts. God's word. Those are his thoughts. Those are his thoughts towards you. Those are those thoughts that he says, this is what I think towards you. I think that you'll have a good future. Let me read that. I want to read it out of the Amplified. This is Jeremiah 29:11, I believe. Is that right? Jeremiah, back here, okay. I'm teaching you what the Lord teaches me, okay? You know, the best teacher is the one that's had to experience it themselves, right? 29. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. A good end. I'll keep that there. I have some more scriptures. All right. You don't really even need to speak them, but start thinking on what the right. In other words, whatever comes to you, what would be the opposite of that? Okay, Philippians 4:8, perfect example. I'm going to start with 6 there. Be careful for nothing. So that means don't carry care, right? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So you cannot be down if you're thinking of these things. You choose to engage the enemy. God's always told us the choice is ours. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Can't serve two masters. All right. This will cast down any negative thought that comes against your mind. Learn to catch it early and do not allow Satan to take you down a road that you don't want to go. Don't let him ruin your day. Satan will use bad memories, injustices, guilt, shame, etc. to get you into the fight, but we must resist him. James 4:7-8. Y'all know these. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. How do you submit yourself to God? You do his word. Resist the devil. Tell him, get out of here. I ain't going there today. I ain't going on no guilt trip today. Staying home today. I ain't going on that trip. I don't like that trip. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. That goes with it too. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That's what happens with double-minded. You're up one day and down the next. A lot of times you can tell the maturity of a person by just that alone. I know, I remember when we first got, Danny got born again. I got born again in a Methodist church, but I remember when we got filled with the Spirit. If we didn't have a good service, we went home sad because it was all emotions. Maybe not for some of them, but for us, we didn't know any better. You know, the Christian, being a Christian is not being emotional. It's anything but being emotional. Because when the emotions is what gets us into trouble. No, it's being stable and sound. I remember one time I had a lady that I ran around with, and she liked to go to plays and different stuff. And we went to a Broadway show, and she's standing up and clapping, and all these people. I'm just sitting there in the chair like, this is weird. And her husband said, well, did she enjoy it? She said, I don't know. You can't ever tell. Because I'm not emotional. I am sometimes, but you know what I'm saying? I'm not that type of person. And that person lived on emotion. If she didn't have her emotion and her things are going, she was depressed. What's it got to do with anything? Nothing. But see, that's what the enemy will use. He'll use emotions. Well, God doesn't love you. You didn't have a tickle down your spine at the service this morning. Or the Lord didn't use you to prophesy. He must be mad at you. People lose their joy over the littlest things. Kind of like Brother Jerry Savelle used to talk about it. Satan can't take your joy. He can't take your goods. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. Because a merry heart does good like a medicine. It keeps you up and thinking on the right things. And when you're doing that, you're walking on the right path. All right. How do we resist the devil? We don't take the bait. Kind of like going fishing. Don't give him any bait. I mean, he's brought the bait. He's trying to bait you, and he's trying to get you to take the bait. Just say, no, no. You're a liar. You're lying, and I know you're lying. Just let him know. Just let him know. You are a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It may seem a little childish, but you know what? It's the truth. And I think people will understand that. And a bunch of rules and formulas and all of these kind of things that doesn't do anything but confuse you and trip you up. All right. Counter with what God says in His Word concerning whatever it is. That's kind of like calling those things that be not as though they were, right? Because if you believe you're healed or you believe that God has taken care of a need, then wouldn't you act like it is already done? Or you just sit up at night and worry if, I don't know if God's going to do it or not. All right, Colossians 2:15. Satan cannot steal your victory unless you allow him to. Always remember he is the loser in this deal. He lost the fight. He has been absolutely knocked out of anything. Colossians 2:15. I said these are all scriptures you know. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. What? Triumphing over them in it. Look here, this goes with it, whether you realize it or not. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days. What's your shadow of things to come but the bodies of Christ? It's talking about these silly little things that get us into arguments and get us out of the Spirit and walking in the flesh. Happens in churches all the time. We've been in a few of those church messes. I'll tell you what, you think the world's nasty? Just wait till you get a bunch of church folk in there. It's nasty. It scarred us early on. I think that's why we didn't go to church much, because we had seen several church messes, and Danny had a word, oh, it's been some years back, about I allowed you to go the whole gambit. You got to see all kinds of different situations and all the sex and all the stuff, that's S-E-C-T-S, all that kind of stuff out there, so you'd know, because you've been there. All that emotional garbage. When I was a young Christian, I thought if you didn't have the emotions, then God was mad at you. Because everybody seemed like it was always about emotion. It has nothing to do with the emotions. It's because it's babies. Babies are emotional. You get a bunch of toddlers together, they're beating each other in the head and crying and screaming and yanking everybody's toys and throwing a big hissy fit on the floor, kicking their feet. I thought, they've been to the same church I've been to. Nothing against churches. It's just, can you blame the babies if they weren't taught? Can you even blame the pastors if they weren't taught about something that's actually something we can use to help us to be victorious Christians? Okay. We do not have to believe Satan's false evidence. And it is false. We're learning to not be moved by the outward, but what is inside of us. This is where the Lord's had us for quite a while now. Okay, we're going to read a few scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 15. I want it to be simple enough for people to just be able to grab a hold of it and say, yay, yes. Not, like I said, have to spend half your life unlearning. All right, 1554 here. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we already have victory. We're not trying to get the victory. Circumstances do not have to donate or dictate your victory. Well, no, I hadn't got this yet, and this hadn't happened that yet, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. Or you can say, I got the victory. I've got the victory. The Word says I have it. Do we believe the Word, or are we to believe the devil and his lies? All right, 1 John 5:4. God don't make no losers. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We have the victory. As we learn to control our thought life, we will see just how victorious life can be. It just takes discipline. Where's the scripture in James? I just went blank. Talks about that. Just a minute. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the, there it is. That's what I'm wanting. Verse 2 of James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, what we're talking about today? All right. We don't have to settle for just being just having a victory. We can be a conqueror. A conqueror. I mean, that's taking out them giant things, you know what I'm saying? That's a conqueror. We don't just get over the hump, we knock them out. All right. Right here, let's read Romans 8 here. This is 37, 38, and 39. Romans 8. Boy, I like Romans 8. It's just rich. Starting with 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So just because something comes against you does not mean that it will separate you. You do the, if it's anything separates, it will be you doing it. Doesn't have to happen. In other words, we can have victory and totally conquer anything and everything that the enemy brings our way when we learn how to counterpunch. I think a lot of times the problem is that we sit and we just deal with something and we just put up with something for a long place of time till we get so weary and down about it. We can't hardly get back up. But if we'd start counterpunching at the get-go, nip it in the bud, I think we'd be better for it. Then we wouldn't wear ourselves out. We'd go on and enjoy the rest of our day. Okay, we're going to read some more. I remember in Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi said, karate for defense only. And that's what came to me when I was typing this out. You're maintaining your stance. Because karate was all about balance and maintaining your center, all your force from your center. And that's the way it is with the kingdom of God. The center of you, the core of you, your heart. That's the part that has to stay centered. That's the part that's going to do the warfare. Okay, we're going to look at that too. Some scriptures here. This is Ephesians 6. This passage in Ephesians 6 is talking about the armor of God, and it's telling you exactly what I just said to you about the karate stance. I mean, I'm not into the martial arts, and I wouldn't get into them because I think there's some things that are not good, but the precept of being centered and unmovable and being stable is what the goal is. All right, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How are you going to do that? Stay out of the flesh. You're on his path. Don't let the enemy knock you off of it. And in the power of his might, you're going to knock the enemy out with his word, not with your fist or not with anything that smart you might be able to say. It's going to be the word of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So there's that stability. Unmovable. The stance. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, we don't get in a fight with people. The enemies, or the devil is always the enemy. I don't care if somebody's trying to do something. The devil is always the enemy. He's the instigator behind it. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Now, here we go again. You're not knocked down, you stand strong. In the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's your mind, and that's the word of God. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, you have right standing. What does the devil come to do? He comes to accuse you, trying to tell you you're not righteous, and you can say, that isn't true. God already says I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And your feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. He ain't knocking me out of my peace. I'm going to stay strong. Stand strong. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Can't you just see him? Ping, 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 ping. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is that mental battle. Right there. Your mind is the target. All right, let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 20 there. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. We're talking about the mind here. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. See, there's where we produce. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put forth from thee. See what I'm saying? This counterpunch is mental. It is not you going to jabbering unless the Lord gives you a word to say. The devil's coming to you in your mind and bringing things you don't want. And so what are you doing? In your mind, you're saying, mm-mm, not buying it, not today. Put away from thee a froward mouth. In other words, you don't want to dare speak anything contrary to the word. That's why he comes. He's trying to get those words out of you. Because he can't get nothing if he can't get you to make it. He can't make anything. He's not the author of sickness either. Though we've been taught it has been. He can't make anything. He never made anything but a mess. He never made anything. God made it all. What did he do? He tricked people out of it. So he can't make nothing. So if he can get you to make it, there you go. The thief comes to what? Not to make things, but to steal, kill, destroy. I love you, Brother Hagin, but I disagree with you on that one. Okay. Where did I stop? Let thine eyes look right on, and thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not from the right hand or to the left. Remove the foot from evil. Here you are walking on your road of peace, and you're just enjoying your day. And here comes this bum up here, and he starts jabbering at you, trying to get you off course, trying to get you all upset, trying to get you to speak what you don't want. And you can stand right there and not ever say a word and conquer him. With the counterattack. It's not hard, y'all. You really naturally do it all the time. We were talking about how, you know, a lot of people make a big thing about meditating and all of that kind of stuff, but really we're made to do that. We think about stuff all the time. So it's not anything that we don't know how to do. It's just disciplining your mind to take care of business. Quit being kicked about like winds, knocking you about. All right, heart here, mind and understanding, the most inner organ. the vines, his says here, heart, it's of the inner life, man's entire mental and moral activity, both the rational and emotional elements. The heart is used figuratively for the hidden springs of personal life. The heart, in its moral significance in the Old Testament, includes the emotions, the reason, and the will. What's emotions got to do with it? Got to do with it. Nothing. But if the devil learns where to push your buttons. Okay, I want to read a few scriptures. We're going to be done. This is Romans 1:21. This just has kind of had the heart. says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So here's those imaginations. We go around imagining stuff all the time. We have to discipline ourselves to imagine what God says we have. All right, turn to Luke. This is Luke 24:38. There was a bunch of them. I just picked out a few. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Yeah. All right, flip back to Luke 1. This is 1:51. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Since the fall, this has been the case of man. Jesus leveled the playing field, put us back really to the pre-fall state. Not everything's redeemed and put back like it's supposed to be, but we can operate at least in the right way. Okay, 1 John 3:20-21. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. I mean, when you're fired upon, you can begin to doubt. Yeah. All right, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All right, Mark, this is Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. All right, Romans 10:10. This is part of the salvation. Says here, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right, Hebrews 3:12, just got a couple more. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. 1 more, Jesus talked about this. It's the deed is done in your heart first. This is Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Then he goes on, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is unprofitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Talking about the thoughts here. So this is where the battle is and where the counterpunch needs to be delivered. All right.